Welcome to Man Strong Podcast. This is your host, Clint Locklear, and we're going to talk about a couple different subjects today about what it means to be a real man. First one is, weak things break, guys. Weak things break. And that's not something we as men should be. But before we get to the day's topic, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Awesome company, awesome products, great prices, awesome shipping, great customer service, just really good people you want to deal with. So if you're in one of the outdoorsmen that likes to trap, likes to predator call, got mold problems, he's got traps, dog proofs, he's got everything that you would be looking for probably, check him out at Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. He's all over Amazon, eBay, but you'll find out because of the charges from eBay, even on Prime, not eBay, but Amazon, you might be able to save some money if you order directly off of his site. It's one of these things I've learned, and it's one of these things that you need to learn when you're buying some of these products. Amazon has us thinking they're the cheapest, but you sometimes need to go to the website and check it out yourself because someone's going to have to pay for that 15% charge that Amazon's charging the dealer. And in Funky's Supply, he doesn't add that when you order directly from his website. So a lot of times it's a 15% discount. So go check that out yourself. Now, weak things break. This is a saying from Louis Simmons. Louis Simmons is probably one of the most well-known strength coaches in the world. Teaches track and field and Olympic lifts, but he's known for powerlifting. And what he's talking about is parts of your body. Weak things break. You want to know why you've got bad knees? You got weak knees. You got weak hamstrings, weak quads, weak calves, weak tendons, weak ligaments. Weakness causes breakage. Whatever the weakest link in your chain is what is going to cause you problems. Most people I know, most, not all, but most, have back problems. You want to know why they have back problems? They have weak lower backs. They have weak glutes and weak hamstrings. Weak things break. I can tell you from the first time I had my shoulder dislocated was in the ninth grade at Meigs County, Tennessee, I think it was a spring. We had spring practice back then, running two a days, and then we had a scrimmage with another team. And I'm playing defensive end, and they run a reverse. So I've got containment. I've got to turn the dude back into everybody else. So I've got some backup to tackle this guy, and I got greedy. So this guy's running, not seeing me. I see him not seeing me, and I'm having a visual fantasy of hitting that boy so hard, he comes apart about the waistline. And I've got everything I got going. And at the last second, he jumps back. Just as he sees me right before I hit him. And I know I'm going to miss him with my shoulder pad, so I grab with my left arm. I get caught up in his jersey. Back then we had those great big mesh jerseys that's not popular anymore for good reasons, I guess. And my shoulder came out of socket about 7 inches. My shoulder socket itself was down below my nipple. And I was out for pretty much the whole summer. And since that time, I've had it come out bear hunting. I've had it come out beaver trapping. I had it come out jumping out of airplanes and playing basketball and several times in football and all this stuff. So I've had a weak shoulder since about the ninth grade. Once I started lifting weights again, I took great care in building up not just the big shoulder muscles, but all the little shoulder muscles. And now I cannot tell the difference between the strength or the sensitivity of my left and right shoulder, because my left one's the one that came out. So it's no longer weak, and it no longer seems to break the same. So that's one of those things. I've had this off and on for years. Whenever I would start having lower back problems, which all guys do, you're twisting, you're turning, you're working, you're slipping, you're sliding, you're doing everything, and you tweak your back. Well, something in me realized that if I did deadlifts once a month, once every other month, or something like that, because it wasn't like I was really training at it, and all I had weight-wise was 275 at the house. But I would do five or six sets with that, and my back kept enough strength where it wasn't weak. And I believe that's the reason, at 50 years old, I still don't have back problems. I was really the only lifting that I would do, and it was just when I would start feeling like my back was getting weaker. So that was the way that I went about that. So if you're having a weak back, and you're having sciatic nerve problems, and you go now listen, if you go to a doctor and you're 40, 50 years old, they're gonna find something wrong with your spinal cord. That's normal. Everybody's got a herniated disc or something that's out of whack. That's part of being an adult. That doesn't mean you need surgery, and that doesn't need to mean you need to baby your back. Now, I'm not a doctor, and I know your doctor's gonna try to baby you to health. So what they basically do is they want to baby you and to be the weakest form of a human you can be to protect your back. It's always weak and it's always going to break. Let me ask you a question. If you had a bad back, is it better to have it strong, or is it better to have a weak bad back or a strong bad back? Just intrinsically, you know what the answer to that is. You want a strong back because weak backs give out quicker. Get you in, you can't overcome twisting and sliding and bending over sideways and not using your legs the way the posters tell you to at work. Same thing with your knees. I have zero knee problems, and I contribute to that, believe it or not, to being a fat ass that weighed 340 pounds. Running around beaver swamps and getting out of boats and slop and mud and continuously having to keep me upright without falling in. So my knees were in constant stress for a couple of decades because of what I did for a living. And being 300 to 340 pounds, that's a lot of weight on slick mud. Going up and down banks, doing stuff like that. It caused a lot of stress on my legs, even though I was not in good shape. I believe it, through isometrics of trying to stay up in the mud, not fall over, it caused my knees to be pretty strong. And I have zero knee issues at 50 years old, getting ready to be 51. But when I meet people that have knee problems, most of the time when you start kind of asking some questions, you find out they sit at a desk all day, they watch a lot of TV at night, and they don't really do anything that's going to stress the leg muscles, the calf muscles, the hamstrings, or the knee tendons on a daily basis. Now, the reason mine are strong, like I said, is because they were in constant weird positions all the time because of mud. But if someone's on concrete and carpet and sits down all the time, and you're basically doing keyboard work or paperwork, or you're talking to people, and then even if you just go to the gym and you do the stair machine and the bikes and all that type stuff, you don't build up the strength that your knees are supposed to. Because think about what the human body was meant to do. It was meant to walk. It was meant to carry weight. It was, meant to be in unstable environments, not just always perfectly level concrete and asphalt. And over time, when these people that always are in chairs or driving a lot, anything that kind of gets their knee out of whack causes them great pain, and they start tearing stuff, ACLs and everything like that. Weak things break. Shoulders, knees, back, elbow problems, ankle problems, all of that is coming because weak things break. So if you want to be healthy, for goodness sake, guys, man the crap up and figure out how to strengthen yourself so you're not weak. You don't have to spend a lot of time doing it. Now, the other thing that I can tell because of my dad is weak things don't have balance. And I've watched a lot of where we moved in this neighborhood. We're actually the youngest people here. At 51 years old, the youngest. Probably the average here is, they've all lived here for 30, 40 years. Probably mid-60s, average, low 70s. The ones that are very active, that are that age, they don't have balance issues. They're hiking, they're walking, they're going to the Y and they're doing this and that, and they're always, you know, helping people move stuff around, and they don't have balance issues. But the ones that aren't that active, just like my dad, they don't have the muscle to have any balance. So not only do weak things break, weak things don't have balance. And what happens when you don't have balance? You tweak and you twerk stuff and it always hurts. Or you fall down and you break things because you couldn't keep your balance. Or you're tearing up your knees or your back or your elbows and all kind of stuff like that. It all goes together. Because this is the way that I see this. Now, like I said, I am not a doctor, but in my mind's eye, this is how I see weakness and balance. When I was in the military, one of my jobs for a couple of years was I was a dragon gunner, which means I had to carry this great big old tube thing around, and it was kind of like a high-tech version of when you watch all the Army movies now and the bad guys have the RPGs. It's like a rocket launcher. But being America, we had all this great technology, so we come up with, you know, after the RPGs, we got LAWs. And then we went to AT-4s, which were just souped-up versions of the RPGs, and we went into Dragons. Dragons is a great big tube that's probably 10, 12 inches round. And it's got these wires that stay connected to the arsenal when it's leaving the tube out to several thousand meters. So what this does is you put it on your shoulder and you see a tank, for an example, or a vehicle or some type of bunker, and you're going to shoot it with a dragon because it's high explosive. When you fire the dragon off of your shoulder, you got your face to a screen. And you're looking at that screen with a reticle in it, just a basic square. And as the dragon missile goes down range, it has all of these wires that are unhooking or unraveling back to the dragon. They're little bitty wires. And if you get a lot of kick, which you do, and you come off target, say 20 or 30 feet, you can very slowly move the dragon with the reticle on the screen back to target. And what these little wires do is when it needs to, it somehow fires these little bitty explosive things on the back of the warhead, and it moves it over to target. So it's kind of like, like you see on some of the science fiction, you know, you have five or six round things, and to get it to line up, they may fire two on the left side and it lines it back up. So as you're moving the reticle, these wires are hooked up and it's firing these little explosions that move the actual missile itself over to the target. That's when in my brain's eye, that's what I'm seeing with balance. So you're standing up and you're weak, and all of a sudden you start leaning, you don't have the little explosions in your muscle to keep you from going that direction. So you start falling over because you don't have the muscle in you to hold that upright. And then you have to over-adjust. And then when you over adjust, now you're leaning more this other way, but now you're struggling because you don't have the little wires with the explosions like the Dragon does, or your muscles to keep that upright and back. So every time that you're standing up, all these little muscles are contracting and expanding all the time to keep you doing what you want to do. You don't think about it, it's just something that happens. But if they're so weak, they can't do their job. And that's what it seems to be, to me, what happens when people are weak and they start losing balance. They don't have the muscle strength anymore to keep from having to over-adjust, or they just collapse. And when you collapse, you have a tendency to break things. When you break things, you have a tendency to get sick. When you get sick, you have a tendency to get more frail. When you get more frail, you have a tendency to die. And all of that leads back to weak things break. So if you're having trouble with balance, and you're having knee problems and back problems and shoulder problems, see, there's no one else in the world. That doctor is not going to cure you with a pill. I've never seen any exercise come from a doctor that a four-year-old child could not complete. You're not going to build strength with that. Nor, because I went through several rehabs, intensive rehabs for my shoulder. Again, nothing I ever did that an average four-year-old could not pull off. You're not going to build strength with the 2 pound and the 4 pound and the 10 pound weights. Or the little bands, or the broom handles that I had to move in these weird little circles and all kind of weird stuff. It never ever built enough strength of the muscles that support my socket like they are right now, doing all of that specialized, you know, medical stuff, that it does it. Louis Simmons broke his back twice powerlifting. You know, that's why competitive powerlifting is probably not the healthiest thing a human being can do. I'm not sure you're meant to put 1,200 pounds on your back and squat down and lift it up. Squatting down with 400 or 500, different story. Squatting down with 1,200, there seems to be some limits of what happens. They get beat up a lot. Anyway, he broke his back. He learned with this machine that he designed and patented called the Reverse Hyper. It's the only machine that I can tell from looking around that actually builds the spinal erectors that connect your hamstrings to your back, which is also where your sciatic nerves are at. And it's, you lay on a table and you've got the weights on a pendulum underneath you, and you basically straighten out your legs. You can somewhat do it with bands, but it's not the same because it doesn't have the swinging motion. Because when it comes back down, not only are you building your spinal erectors when your legs go up, when it comes back down, it pulls your back apart, so it's decompression, it's regenerative all at the same time. So he built this machine because he broke his back. He figured out what his weakness was, which is spinal erector, and he was deadlifting 700-something pounds. Yeah, at the time, he was not a weak person, but he had a weak link, which was the spinal erectors. And he built them up with a Reverse Hyper. And he went back, and at the age of 50, was in the top 10 of the overall powerlifting in the world. He's the one that came up with the saying, weak things break. Just keep this in mind. If you're having knee problems, back problems, whatever problems, neck problems, you probably got a weak neck, you got a weak upper back, you got a weak traps. If you build those up, all of a sudden it can support and do what it was designed to do when it's functioning correctly, instead of being a floppy thing up there that you have no muscle and no balance on your neck, and every time you turn around, something's getting pulled. That's because weak. Louis Simmons talks about all the knee and hamstring problems in the NFL. He said that's because they got weak glutes and hamstrings. I kind of believe he's right, because I've looked into how they train, and they really don't train glutes and hamstrings in the NFL. They do all kind of weird functional stuff. that apparently is not that functional for building the strength of the ligaments and tendons and everything in the knee. Weak things break. Brother, don't be weak. If you do, you're going to break. And when you break, it goes downhill from there till you get everything straightened back out. Why start over again when you don't have to? If you're healthy, get strong so you don't have knee problems and back problems. If you're thinking you're older and you can't do these things, you're exactly who needs to be doing these things. Get online. Look up 70 and 80-year-old people that's deadlifting 300 and 400 pounds. They don't have back problems. The little old lady walking in the store with no back muscles is the one with the back problems. Weak things break. Now, I want to go in, and I see this is where, in a modern world today, everybody is so concerned with everybody's feelings on everything that people never say what they really want to say because it's not nice or it's considered too aggressive or whatever. So the backlash to that is people hardly ever today get the truth. Grown men should be able to talk to each other and be able to speak the truth without having another grown man go into four-year-old mode where they whine, snivel, feel sorry for themselves and everything, especially if the truth is being told. See, in the Army, you didn't worry about that because it's just the way that it was. It was a manly environment. Most civilians never been around a manly environment. Have you ever noticed when someone gets hurt at a professional football game, they have empathy for that person, but they just keep on rocking? College, it's a lot worse. High school, people break down. They do all kind of stuff. People can't think when they see somebody else get hurt or something like that. But in the Army, injuries is just part of the everyday thing because you abuse your body so bad. Everybody's got them. And basically the phrase was, it sucks to be you. Because you're going to have to straighten yourself out from whatever this is. Now, your really close friends would have more empathy with you, but they were also usually a lot more honest. You know, you've been pretty lazy in PT. You got weak. You got hurt. Quit your freaking bitching. Go get strong again so this don't happen to you. That's not what happens in the civilian world. So I want to talk about something today that could be seen in the civilian side of the world as harsh. But I'm going to use language like we're two grown adult men that don't have to worry about the other one reverting to the whining four-year-old because their feelings are hurt. So we're going to call this little segment, let's just call it lazy. Let's just call it lazy. Let's call it what it is. Not a motivational term, I guess, but let's just call it lazy. Real men need to fight laziness. I believe this. Every single human being on the planet is lazy. The difference between winners and losers and successful people and mediocre people is they fight laziness all the time. They find out ways to beat laziness so laziness doesn't overtake them. And I'm going to give some examples. You can't make it to work on time most days. You're the one that's always late to the party. You're the one that's always late on a trip. You're the one that waits to the last minute to pack. Let's just call it what it is. It's laziness. It's also disrespectful to be late to other people, but we'll keep it simple and just call it lazy. You started a revenue stream, side business, a side hustle. You're all fired up when you first decide to do this. Whatever it is, that makes no difference what it is, whatever it is. whether it's mortar and based, where you're selling directly to people, it's a service that you're doing for people, or it's internet based. You're all fired up. You've got these plans. You've ran these numbers. You're seeing yourself on your yacht in about 3.5 months. You think everything's going to go just according to plan, and it doesn't. And lo and behold, you're spending less and less time on your revenue stream, finding ways to piddle and waste time instead of doing what you need to do inside of that revenue stream, till the revenue stream becomes kind of like a really ugly girlfriend that you just need to find a way to get rid of. Because it's embarrassing. Let's just be honest and call it lazy. Because it's easy to want a revenue stream. It's hard to work a revenue stream. It's very simple most of the time, but it's hard work. Because when everybody else has got their butt planted on the TV watching, on the couch watching TV, or out on their fishing boat, or whatever it is, you got to be putting orders out. You got to be working on your online presence. You got to be working on social media or whatever it is that your business is going to be doing. You got to be going putting out flowers if you do cutting grass, or you got to always be hustling to find new restaurants to take your produce if you're into the, you know, the produce part of the world. Whatever it is, it's a lot of work. And after a few months, when the buzz of your, you know, your excitement wears down, it goes away. And you start finding excuses why you don't do them. Let's just call it lazy and be honest with each other. You need to save money. Oh my goodness. See, I'm talking now. I'm preaching to me right now. Because up till about my 40s, being an entrepreneur, I could just go generate more income. I'd start a new revenue stream. I would have a sale on a revenue stream. I would go get more clients on a revenue stream. I would do whatever. If I needed more money, I would just go generate more money. Because of that, down deep, I knew I needed to save money, because that's what a responsible adult does. And when you look at the national statistics in America today, the average American cannot lay their hands on $400 if they don't get debt to get it. $400. $400. That means if your dryer goes out, you're in debt. If your hot water heater goes out, you're in debt. Your radiator goes out, you're in debt. You can't even buy decent tires and have them put on and balanced today for $400. All these aspects of our life, reality is, it costs money to live. And you don't save any money. Now, I've got friends that have been highly disciplined in saving of the money. I've got several friends that if you could figure out a way to mark money in a bank account, they still have 50 cents on every dollar they've ever made in their entire life, including Christmas money when they were 8 years old. That was tremendous parenting on somebody's side to get the kid to understand why that's so important. And all those guys that are my age now are rocking, have safety, they have plenty of money, and they have a lot of security. Their wives feel secure. Girlfriends or if they're single, girls are throwing themselves at them because that's such an unusual unicorn in today's world for somebody to save and have money in an account. See, I didn't do this for a long time. I started saving probably when I was in my 40s. And it killed me, because I wanted toys and I wanted more traps and more guns and the new camouflage and a better boat. It's killing me. I didn't have enough self-discipline as a male to do what I needed to do and save money. But let's just be honest. It's being lazy. Not doing what I should have done. And if you're a dad or a husband, or you want to have a good woman, and you're not saving money, you're messing up. Oh, here's a good one. Gonna lose weight. Oh, getting a little bit of dad bod going on. A little bit of spare tire. Whole lot of spare tire. 18 wheelers worth of spare tires. Gonna lose a little weight. You go online. You go talk to the doctor. You go talk to another fat buddy that's gonna tell you how to lose weight. And you figure out this is what you're gonna do. And it lasts about 4 days. And then all of a sudden, your wife, your girlfriend, goes into the kitchen in the middle of the night, and there you are shoving a box of cereal down your throat. Or when you leave, you're sneaking food because you feel guilty because you've told everybody you're going to lose weight, so you're going through drive-thrus and gorging on stuff. Or you simply just give up after a few days. Let's be honest, guys. It's lazy. Is that how you want to be known as a male? I know the answer to that is no. No guy wants to be known as lazy. That's not a very good characteristic. But that's why most people, including me, over and over again in my entire life, could not lose weight. Lazy. Too lazy to do the work, too lazy to do the prep, too lazy to stick to the plan. Lazy, lazy, lazy. Another one that I hear a lot of, because I've talked to a lot of guys about being an entrepreneur and revenue streams, is personal education. Very rarely. It's kind of like when you find out George Burns drank several glasses of whiskey a day, smoked cigars, ate nothing but fatty food, and lived to be 100 or whatever it was when he died. And he was thin and pretty much healthy and died. So that's like a unicorn in the world. We've all heard that. We probably even have someone in our family or somebody we know that lives off, you know, fried food and crap, drinks all the time, smokes, does weed, whatever. Doesn't sleep, probably does some drugs, and they live to be 95 years old and they just one day die. That's not normally what happens. And when it comes to personal education, it's kind of that same way. I have no doubt if someone spends enough time, you can find a successful person that is not self-educated themselves. And I'm not talking about school, because school is schooling. It is not education anymore. I don't care what the marketing says it is. Schooling. They ain't educated for crap. Personal education. That's a big one. Whenever I talk to somebody that wants to be a business owner, that wants to be an entrepreneur, they weren't taught in school. They weren't taught by their parents. They don't have anybody really to talk to because everybody they know has a job and hates it. They want to be a business owner because they want to be their own boss. They have this concept of what they think that's going to be. And they get all fired up. And they realize there's a bunch of stuff they have no idea about. Taxes, marketing, messaging, production, wholesale prices, MAP prices, all the stuff that goes inside of a business. SEO of the internet, building the websites, running the websites, keeping the websites up, the domain names, all the stuff that it takes to run a revenue stream in the modern world. That we're not taught, because we're just taught that rich people are bad and brown people are always good, and it's always the white people that's at fault. That's pretty much what schooling is today. But they don't teach them how to balance a checkbook. They don't teach them what real marketing means. Everybody's confused that views has something to do with income. Everybody wants to be famous. They don't want to work for it. Personal education. almost every single successful person that you ever meet, I will guarantee you, is a reader. They read books all the time. When I fall asleep at night, I'm reading. I'll be honest, I read fiction at night because if I read something that's business involved, I can't sleep. So I don't read business stuff at night. But in the morning, before I start work, I always carve out 30, 45 minutes and I read nonfiction. And it can be on marketing, it could be on weightlifting, it could be on advertising, it could be on SEO, it could be on computers, it could be on startup companies, it can be on all kinds of different things. That is a habit that I get in. And I've been in for years. Because I, no matter, there's other things I want to do besides read about messaging and marketing or leadership or whatever else it is. But I have trained myself to self-educate. When I hear new concepts and ideas, I go research them online. I get some books on my Kindle. I read about them. I think about them. I apply some of them. Some of them I go, it's garbage. I ain't wasting my time on this. But when people realize that they want a revenue stream and they find out they have to self-educate, because you're not going to get it in school. They are not going to teach you how to run a successful business. That's a joke if that's what people think they're getting in college. You got to do it yourself, and it takes work. And most people, after a couple of chapters, it's another month before they read another chapter, and then they don't know where the book is at, and they don't know what they're trying to do, and they're trying to wing everything, and it seems like everything's fighting them because they're trying to use information that they don't have where they need it to be, and it doesn't work. Let's just call it what it is. It's laziness. Your free time, basically, you're saying, is more important than your family and your financial freedom. You're making a choice every time you let that laziness win. You're saying that that Dunkin' Donut that is straight from heaven itself when it's hot is more important than you getting diabetes. So you're going to figure out a way to get that donut. You're making a choice and you're letting laziness win if you do that. You have to decide that you're going to be a strong enough male to do what you need to do so you can go do what you want to do. And you prioritize what you need to do over what you want to do, and you make it happen. Now, how does this work? Laziness, I think, is an anti-skill. People are very good at it. They're very skilled at it, but it's an anti-skill. I think it's like anything else in life. You have to train it. To fight laziness, trying to jump out and be Superman or a superhero and go from, if you're honest with yourself, probably 80% lazy in your life to 10% lazy and, you know, another 70% of kicking ass, you're asking for failure. That's like someone that gets into weightlifting and they're benching 165 and they think next week they're going to bench 395. That's kind of what happens to most people when they have this little click. I want to be a business owner. I'm going to self-educate. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do whatever, save money, whatever. They try to go about it too big. Start small. If you're trying to self-educate, if you got to get up 30 minutes before you normally do to read about things that's going to help build your life, you schedule that in, and backgummit, you get your butt out of bed and you go do it for 30 minutes. Down the road, you can make it an hour. And then instead of watching 4 or 5 hours of TV a night, why don't you take an hour to self-educate a little bit, get online, take some online courses or something. But thinking someone's just going to start being, trying to catch up on all the stuff they didn't learn growing up, and they're going to do it 12 hours a day while they work a job and have a family, it's ridiculous. You have to start small. But you have to make sure that it's something that you can and will do. Because success grows just like laziness grows. If you start reading books on being an entrepreneur or a leader or a self-starter or whatever it is that you're going to start on, and you actually read that for 30 days, you're not the same person after the 30 days you were when you started. I promise you that. Your brain will rewire itself. You'll see the world differently. You'll see situations differently. You'll start seeing businesses different. You'll start seeing opportunity that you never saw before. But you have to start small. It's like someone can't go from 150 to 300 on a bench press. You're not going to go to a master businessman in a month. Jordan Peterson has built a whole concept on starting small. And his is, make your bed in the morning. Do something productive when you get out of bed. Make your bed. That'll lead to other things. That's simple. Make your bed. Look at your successes like they're PRs, private records in weightlifting. When you, after a month or two, and you read for 30 minutes, or you save 10% of your income, or you lose some weight, think of them like PRs. Something that, you know, like if you wanted to eventually bench 225 pounds and you're struggling. When you get there, it's amazing. But as soon as you get there, you need to start working on 240, 250, 260, up to whatever it is. Because when you build these little things of success, guys, it grows. You want to be success. You know, there's an old a phrase in sports. Winners win and losers lose. Success breeds more success. Laziness is always going to breed more laziness. So if you catch yourself where lazy is always winning, and you know it. See, this isn't something that you're going to get on a talk radio show and talk about how lazy you are. This is not someone you're going to write a letter to a friend and just talk about how slothful you are. No, you know it. You know it down deep. You know when you're saying you're working hard all the time that you really ain't. You know it. See, this is where honesty of men can talk. When you're being lazy, you know it. And you don't feel good about it. And it's kind of like, I'm assuming it is if you've got a gambling problem. You know you shouldn't be doing it because you're going to lose your house and your family eventually, but you can't stop. I think laziness is much of addiction as gambling or drinking or doing dope or whatever, because it builds over time and it puts you in a state of a mind that there's nothing you can do. It's just the way that it is. If you're going to be a real man, you're going to be a strong man, you're going to be mentally tough, you have got to be stronger than laziness. Because I'm telling you, that is a serious opponent that you will fight to the day that you die. You want to know why weak things break? Because weak things are lazy. Don't be weak. Don't be lazy. Realize what it is and come up with a plan of attack that starts small and builds. And if you keep that up for 6 months or a year, you will not be that. You won't even talk the same. You'll be in a whole different league. Stuff will be happening for you that you could have never imagined. All because of 30 minutes, an hour, making a plan, making a decision. Don't be weak, guys. Don't be lazy. Be a man. Do what you need to do so you can do what you want to do.